Morning, everyone. Today's daf is daf dalet. So far, we've established the fact that there is an issur in the Torah of tamura. Tamura is when you try to exchange the kedusha of one carbon and send it to another animal, a non-carbon animal, and the result is hus marisa yekodesh, that it and its counterpart are both going to have kedusha. It is a result. Yet it's an issur. It's a prohibition of the Torah. The Torah says not to do it. And meanwhile, if you do it, you're going to get malchus. But also, if you do it, it's effective. So tomorrow's daf, which was really the end of today's daf, which we're going to stop today, is going to be the big sugya. The big sugya of, isn't that interesting, where the Torah says not to do something, and meanwhile, if you do it, it's effective. Okay? And that will be tomorrow's discussion, and it'll run. It'll run for a couple of days. But meanwhile, however, we're going to be focusing on malchus. We started with the idea of malchus yesterday, and we're going to continue with malchus today. And why do we talk about malchus? Because the Mishnah says you're going to get malchus. The Mishnah says that if you do tamura, if you affect tamura, so you're going to get malchus. Now, the Torah doesn't say you're going to get malchus. The Torah just simply says, lo yamir v'lo yachlifenu. The Torah just simply says, don't do it. But the Torah doesn't say you're going to get malchus. But we have a general rule that if it's a lav shi yesh bo maaseh, it's a lav that has an action, so therefore you're going to get malchus. But here's the problem, which we noted yesterday. Tamura is a lav shi yesh bo maaseh, it's an action. Tamura is just simply dibur, it's just simply speech. And so it's a lav she'ein bo maaseh, so why should you be getting malchus? We have a rule that kol lav she'ein bo maaseh, that any lav that doesn't have an action is in fact not going to be subject to malchus. Good. So yesterday in the daf, right, in daf gimel, so we quoted in the name of Rav Yosi Haglili, right, Am Rav Yitzchak, Am Rav Yochanan, Mishim Rav Yosi Haglili, the bottom of gimel amid aleph. So there are three exceptions. The rule is that any losas, any negative prohibition that doesn't have an action attached to it, and you just simply violate it by inaction, so you're not going to get malchus. But I'll give you a simple example: ba yirah ba yimatzeh, right? You're owning chametz on Pesach, right? The Torah says don't own chametz on Pesach. So how do you violate that law? By just simply leaving the chametz in your house. So that's, you didn't do anything. Good, but in other words, by not doing anything, you violate the law, but it's a law of shem b'masa.
But if you buy it in the store?
If you buy it in the store, okay, fine. So there may be ways to do it with an action, but generally speaking, it's a law of shem b'masa. So the Gemara says you're not going to get malchus with three exceptions. And then those three exceptions are nishba, meimer, umekala. Let me spell it out better. Hamekala chavero b'shem. So exception number one is shvua, right? We talked about yesterday. Yesterday's daf. Shvua shav, shvua shaker, making a vain shvua, making a false shvua. Okay, and for that you're going to get malchus, even though it's an inaction. Two is tamura. Now, yesterday the Gemara said tamura. You know what? Take that out from the list, meaning it doesn't belong there. Why doesn't it belong there? So the Gemara yesterday said because it's a lav sheyesh bo maaseh. Now that's hard to understand because meaning all you're doing is just talking. And we talked about how speech is not an action. Speech is nothing. So it's how do you view that as an action? So the Gemara yesterday said, because tamura creates an effect. When I do tamura, what I'm doing is I'm giving an animal, I'm imbuing an animal with kedusha. And so therefore, it's not just talking. It's talking with an immediate ramification, an immediate effect, a real change in status. And the Gemara believes that that is a... that's a lav sheyesh b'maaseh, so take it out. Meaning you're going to get malchus. Agreed. Everyone agrees you're going to get malchus. The only issue is why you're going to get malchus. So the Gemara quotes the name of Rav Yosi Haglili because it's an exception. But then the Gemara quoted in the name of Rav Yochanan on Gimel Amud Beis. No, it's not because it's an exception. It actually is an action. Speech plus result equals action. Okay, that's not a perfect mathematical equation, but that's basically what the Gemara said yesterday. And finally, the last one is Mekal Chaver B'Shem, which is where we're starting today. Cursing your friend using the name of Hashem. Okay. I pointed this out yesterday. I see everyone has a comment on this. The Rambam went through a red light, right? So to say. The Rambam, the beginning of Tamura, says... he writes, I don't have the Rambam with me right now, but, you know, I'll paraphrase. It's Halacha 1-1, Tamura Aleph Aleph, Perak Aleph, Halacha Aleph. The Rambam writes that you're going to get malchus for Tamura. Why? So the Rambam writes, because even though you normally don't get malchus for lav shem b'maisa, but there are three exceptions to the rule where even though it's a lav shem b'maisa, but still you're going to get malchus. And they are, and the Rambam lists, as we just learned in yesterday's daf, it's nishba, it's meimer, and mekal shem chaver b'shem. It's those three sermon in the Torah, which even though they don't have a maisa, but nevertheless you're going to get malchus. So everyone points out, so the Magen Mishnah, the Kesef Mishnah, all the, you know, the regular commentaries on the Rambam point out, it's like the Rambam read Amud Aleph, Gimel Amud Aleph, but the Rambam didn't read Gimel Amud Beis. Now, Chas V'Shalom, the Rambam knew the Gemara's inside out. So, but the Gemara said on Amud Beis that, according to Rav Yochanan, take that out from the list. That doesn't belong in the list. It is a lav sheyesh b'masa. So I see everyone over here tries to defend the Rambam in terms of why he didn't take it out from the list. Because what Rav Yochanan, the way it works, right?
He's an Amora.
I understand. You're also trying to defend the Rambam. I like that.
And the thing is, there's a bright that he's arguing
yes. I understand. But what he's doing is, there's, in other words, somebody standing in front of him and saying over the Brisa. So he believes that that's just simply not part, that's not correct. It's not accurate to say that that was part of the Brisa. He strikes it from the record, meaning.
But the thing is that the Brisa is authenticated by saying it's from Yosef Yehuda by other.
He believes, in other words,
it wasn't just the Brisa.
His knowledge of Torah Shabbat Peh believes that that's not authentic. It does not belong there in the Brisa. That's what he says. He says, right, Lotis Nehache. Right, let me make sure I quote correctly. But Lotis Ne Umeimar. Right. In other words, it's just not. It doesn't belong there in the Brisa. And you're right. It could be that Rav Yitzchak. But the problem is Amar Rav Yitzchak, Amar Rav Yochanan. You know, it's interesting. He quotes it in the name of Rav Yochanan over here. Okay. That's a very good point. That could be a very easy defense of the Rambam. Okay. We go on in the Gemara. Mekal Shem is Chaver B'Shem. Okay, third. Third on the list of things where, if I curse a friend of mine, some friend. If I curse a friend of mine and I use Shem Hashem while cursing him, so that is a lav Shein b'maisa, but you're going to get malchus. Me nalan, I'm Rav Elazar, I'm Rav Yoshi, I'm a kra, im lo sishmor, uksiv v'hifliyas Hashem akoscha. You have your chumash here?
No.
No, it's okay. Okay. Here, let me just borrow your Gemara very quickly, because he's got the psukim. There are two psukim that are back to back in Parshas Kisavo. Yeah, you got to here to understand the Gemara. You really got to see the psukim. So, on the one advantage of the Art School Gemara is all the notes on the bottom. The other advantage is that on the side of the Gemara, I use an older Gemara, but on the side of the Gemara there is he actually writes the entire pasuk that's quoted, and so it sometimes helps. Here's a perfect example. Okay, so Dvarim Perek Chav Ches pasuk Nun Ches. Okay, the Tochacha in Kisavo is long, so we're in pasuk 58. The pasuk says Im Losish Malasos. It's called Dibrei Torah Zos Aksuvim B'Sefer Zeh LeYira Es Hashem HaNichbad VaHanora Hazeh Es Hashem Alkecha. You have to fear the name. And then the next pasuk, v'yiflia shemes makos chaves makos zarecha, makos gedolos v'ne'emanos v'chalayim ra'im v'ne'emanim. Okay. Next pasuk says, and if you don't, or the consequence would be, v'yiflia shemes makos cha. Okay, that's a sequence of two pasukim in Parshas Kisavo, and the Gemara explains like this. Right, everyone see where I am? I'm on Gimel Amud Beis. We are like about 15 lines from the bottom of the page at the two dots. So after quoting those two psukim, the Gemara says, Hafla zu'eina yodea mahu. What does hafla'a mean? So kishu omar v'hi pila ashov v'hi kao l'fanav. So the Gemara says, it's very simple. Because all you got to do is back up a little bit. And the pasuk says, v'hi pila ashov v'hi kao. That when you get malchus, so the first thing the judge does is he kind of like lowers you down, and now you're ready to get malchus. But the language of the pasuk is vihipilu. So you see that the word vihifli is actually a reference to makos. So, Amar, sorry, that's already a new suggestion. That is where the Gemara now is deriving the fact that you're going to get makos for being mikal shem chaver b'shem. Now, it's interesting because the pasuk, the two pasukim that I just quoted, certainly talks about somebody who is using the name of HaKadosh Baruch Hu incorrectly. Right? The Torah says you need to be fearful of the name of Hashem. But it's not actually talking about being Mekala. So we'll come back to that point in just a moment. The Gemara is going to address that. In the meantime, the Gemara, however, wonders, Amar filu shvuas emes. So the Gemara says, well, maybe any shvua whatsoever that you make, you're subject to Malkus. Even if you're saying something which is true. So answers the Gemara, shvuas emes b'adjiksiv, shvuas Hashem t'yeh ben shneim. What do you mean? Sometimes the Torah actually tells us that we need to make a shvua. So it can't possibly be that the Torah is going to tell us to make a shvua and we're going to get Malkus. So the Gemara says, Emar hani mili lefayis es chavero. Gemara makes a wild suggestion. Maybe what the Torah is instructing us to do is the following. Make the shvua. Right? You have a little dispute between you and your friend. A custodial dispute. Okay, you know what? Make the shvua. And then, lefayis es chavero. So now that you and him will be good. And then, aval milka lalke. But then you'll get Malkus. Right? It's not easy to make shalom between people. Sometimes it's going to be a little bit painful. And so what the Gemara is suggesting is that you'll make the Shavua, and you'll be good with your friend, and you'll get Malkus because you made a Shavua. The Gemara says, Lomati, Amar Tichsivu Vishmotu Shaveya. So the Gemara says, no, just not tenable. It is not a tenable position that the Torah is going to warrant us to make a Shavua. The Gemara therefore categorically rejects the whole notion. If it's a Shavuas Emes, if it's a truthful shvua, so you can make it, and sometimes you're supposed to make it, and you're not going to get malchus for making a shvua. So the Gemara says, "Haomi by lechederav damer of gidol amar rabbi nine shenash min lekayim es mitzvah sheim manish bati ve'akayim alishmoy mishpatecha mishpatei tzikecha." So the Gemara says, "What do you mean? That pasuk that you just quoted? I need that to tell me that a person is allowed and encouraged to make a shvua in order to motivate him to do a mitzvah." Meaning sometimes, right, when you are a little bit lazy and a little bit lethargic and you need a little extra motivation, so what you'll do is you'll make a shvua. And if it's for the purpose of a mitzvah, it's okay and warranted. So the Gemara says, Haksiv akra achrini uvasit vaku vishmot yishaveya. So the Gemara says, I have another pasuk. Another pasuk that tells me that if it's a shvua semes, you are encouraged to make a shvua semes and you're not going to get malchus. Okay. Elolamai asala makalas chaver b'shem. Good. So now we go back to that sequence of two psukim and parshas Kisavo, and we're left. We're left saying that if you curse a friend using Shem Hashem, so you're going to get Malkus. Fine. Even though it's a lav Shem Bamaisa. Ve'ema lamotzi Shem Shemaim levatala. So the Gemara says, how about this? How about you're just going to get Malkus for saying HaKadosh Baruch Hu's name in vain? Right? Sounds familiar, right? Third of the Aseret HaDibros. So maybe you're going to get Malkus for that. So mi gara mekalas chaver b'shem imotzei shem shamayim levatala. So the Gemara says, I understand. If you curse your friend, aren't you being motzei shem shamayim levatala? So the Gemara says, anan hachi kakashalan. You misunderstood the question. Ema motzei shem shamayim levatala tiskalei b'malkus. Look, if I just articulate and enunciate a Kadosh Baruch Hu's name with no purpose whatsoever, otherwise known as being Motzi Shem Shamayim Levatala, otherwise known as violating the third of the Aseret HaDibros. So there, Malkus. But then, imagine, you do that, and also while doing that, you curse your friend. So there, you have two things working against you. You have a Bein Adam L'Chavero, plus a Bein Adam L'Makom. Ava Makal Chavero B'Shem, Kevin Dekavi Tarte, Dekamap B'Shem Shamayim Levatala, V'Kamitzar Leile Chavrei, L'Tizgele B'Malkus. So maybe there, it's a compound iser, meaning I am using God's name in vain, and I'm cursing my friend while using God's name in vain. So maybe Malkus is just simply insufficient. Meaning, as we discussed yesterday, the whole purpose of Malkus is to provide kapara. And so maybe this act is so heinous that maybe Malkus by itself won't work.
Like, what would it
get? Misa? I mean,
what's the next step?
I don't know. I mean, the Gemara doesn't finish the thought. But sometimes it's just not enough. It's
don't
just.
Don't we say
sometimes, and sometimes it's not enough.
In all these cases, we see Malkus, there should be.
Again, you need a process.
You need a process.
You always assume process.
And which shame are they using?
The Gemara never says. The Gemara. Where the Gemara discusses in length in terms of which shame you need to talk about? It's a Sanhedrin, right? Sanhedrin.
Okay.
So the Gemara says now we're on the top of Dalam and Aleph today's Daf, Lamatzis Amart. Dirsiv Lo Sikalel Cherish. So the Gemara says now, in other words, untenable. Why? Why is it so untenable? Because the Torah says Lo Sikalel Cherish, you're not allowed to curse the person who's deaf. Meaning, right, Rashi over here offers to a couple of pshatim, but meaning somebody who isn't going to hear what you're saying. Right, right. You're not. It's no ben adam lechavero. Again, Rashi offers two pshatim over here in the Gemara, but lo sikal cheresh vi amar bishlam lekalos chavero as harte mehacha dechsev lo sikal cheresh ela amar moti shem shaman levatala as harte mehecha. But the Gemara says, I'll tell you what really the issue is. We have a general rule. In other words, this is just basic legalities of getting malchus. In order to get malchus for any onish in the Torah, for any isser in the Torah, the Torah has to do a two-step. The Torah first has to tell us that there's an azhara, there's a warning. The Torah says first, don't do it. And then the Torah says, and if you do it, here's the punishment. Now, they don't have to be next to one another necessarily, meaning it could be in one part of the Torah and the other part of the Torah is the onish. But still, the point is that there always has to be a two-step. So what the Gemara now is entertaining is the following. That pasuk in Parshas Ki Savo of Hifli Hashem es Malkoscha, that clearly is onish. That's talking about punishment. Where's the Azhara? Where does the Torah first start off by saying, don't do it? So what the Gemara now is explaining, is suggesting, is that, look, I have a pasuk of Lo Sikalel Cheresh, that you can't curse somebody, period. Now the Torah gives the example of Cheresh, but that's just an example, meaning even though somebody who's deaf and even though he can't hear you, but still, lo sikalo, you can't curse him. You're not allowed to curse anybody. All right. Now, if that pasuk of v'hifli Hashem etz makoscha, if that pasuk is dealing with cursing somebody, so then we have a match, right? It's we have created a formal match of azhara and onesh, and that would be great, meaning perfect. However, if the pasuk of Vihifli Hashem Akoscha is only talking about Motzi Shem Shemayim Levatala, where's the match? Where is its complementary azara in the Torah? So the Gemara says, Alam alo, v'aksiv es Hashem Elkecha tira v'oso savod. So the Gemara says, what do you mean, where's its match? The match is Parshas V'eschanan. The pasuk says, es Hashem Elkecha tira v'oso savod. You have to fear Hashem. And that fearing of Hashem, part of that, included in that, is not to be motzi shem shaman levatala. So what we could do now is we could take that pasuk, match it to v'hifli Hashem as makoscha, and we have azara and we have onesh. And so the Gemara says, and there your match would be. So the Gemara ends the discussion very quickly by saying, hahu azaras asei hu. No. That pasuk, meaning I agree with you. That pasuk is telling us that you're not allowed to be motzi shem shamayim levatala. But that's not a lav. That's not a negative prohibition. A negative prohibition has to be couched and phrased as a no, meaning either lo or al or pen or what's another one the Gemara says, hishamer. The Torah has to provide it to us in a negative language. Here the Torah just simply says, you need to fear shame Hashem. Right, it's a positive commandment. It's what we, you know, what they say in the yeshiva. It's an iser asay. It's a negative prohibition, but it's learned out through a positive commandment. So, but that's not formally a lav. So, even though motzi shem shamayim levatala is a negative prohibition, but it's only learned out through an asay. And so now, what? So now there's no azara. So then there's no match. So the only thing we have left to match is lo sikal cheresh, don't curse a deaf person, which is now meaning to. So now we're going to match lo sikal cheresh with the pasuk in Kisavo. That's azara and that's onesh. Okay. Where are we so far? We have now filled out all three exceptions. There are exceptions to the rule. The rule is you're not going to get malchus if it's a lo sase. There are three exceptions to that rule: nishba, meimer, and mekal shem chaver b'shem. Okay, that second one, Mamer, somewhat subject to a debate, whether it belongs or whether it doesn't belong. Okay, but still, those are your three exceptions, and those are the three times you're going to get Malkus, even though it was a inaction. And then, if you remember, from the bottom of Yom Amud Aleph, there was a possible fourth. the Gemara quotes Mishum Rabbi Yossi Rabbi Chanina Amru in the name of Rabbi Yossi Rabbi Chanina. Remember Rabbi Yossi Rabbi Chanina because that'll become important later in today's daf. Af hamaktim truma libikurim, even if you take off truma before bikurim. Now, what's going on over here? Okay, a little bit of Zrayim this morning, just a little bit, not too much. Right, we are learning tomorrow. But in the world of Zrayim, when you have your agriculture, when you have land, your land in Israel, so you have to take off tithing. Okay, and the Torah also gives us a very specific order. First thing you do, right, you have a tree with olives or grapes. So the first thing you do is truma, right? No, not truma's not number one. What's number one? Even before truma? Bikurim, right? So the first thing that happens is that we're going to attach the word malaya, meaning it fills out on the tree. And so now it's hukva lebikurim. So now at this point in time, you have a mitzvah to take off the first fruits and bring it to Yerushalayim in a basket with a parade. With a parade. That's the Mishnayos in Bikurim. After Bikurim, now we're up to Truma. And you take off Truma. After Truma, then Maaser Rishon. Then Maaser Sheni, depending on which year it is, of the Shemitah cycle. Years 1, 2, 4, 5, you take off Maaser Sheni. Year 3, 6, you take off Maaser Ani. And of course, Shemitah, there is no Truma Maaseros during your Shemitah year. And it has to be specifically in that order. In the order of Bikurim, Truma, Maaser Rishon, Maaser Sheni. I'm not going to do the Rashi inside, but there's a Rashi on the very bottom of this Amud that quotes a Mechilta. It's interesting. He explains why specifically that order, and it's based on name calling. So, not for now, but not for me, but later on, you want to take a look at the Rashi on the bottom. He explains specifically in that order. But right now, for us, all we need to know is that that's the order. And if you go out of order, right, it's like cutting the line at Disney. So, right, if you go out of order, so Malchus. Now, right, no fast passes over here. Now, if you go out of order, it could theoretically be a lav shein b'maisa. Now, sometimes, how do you go out of order? You actually take off truma before you take off bikurim. So that's a maisa. But as we're going to learn later on, you don't have to do it with your hands. All you need to do is simply verbal designation, and that would be sufficient. That would be enough. Okay? Usually, thinking has to be articulated. Otherwise, you know, the thought is... Even just a machshava by itself, it's like... I was going to say, right, when we talked about pigle is a machshava, but it needs to be articulated, just simply so we know. But that's fine, though, because articulation is not maisa, it's not an action. Okay, so if you go out of order, so the correct order is Bikurim Truma, Maaser Rishon, Maaser Sheni, if you go out of order, so you have now violated a law in the Torah, but moreover, according to Rav Yossi, Rabbi Chanina, you're going to get Malkus. Okay. And the Gemara now discusses. We're on Dala Amad Aleph for 10 lines down, for about 8 lines down from the top of the Amud. And we're continuing in the Gemara. Mishum Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Chanina, Amraf, Bikurim, Truma, Af Hamachtim, Truma, Labikurim, my time of the Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Chanina, Amakra. What's the reason? So the Torah says, Malei Ascha V'dimacha, Lo Se'acher. That your Malaya and your Dima. So Rashi says, Malaya, that's talking about Bikurim. Why? So Rashi explains, because Malaya means when it gets full. When the fruit starts getting full on the tree, you haven't taken off the tree, it's still sitting on the tree, Bikurim. It's now open season for Bikurim. That fruit on the tree is subject to the mitzvah of Bikurim. Dima, says Rashi, is a reference to Truma. How do I know that? Because we know that the term Dimua is talking about when there's a mixture of Truma and Chulin. Okay, so dima also means tear.
Is that where demai comes from?
Demai is with an aleph. Uh-huh. Right? Dimua over here is with an ayin. Right? Demai, different explanations of what it means, but one possible suggestion is from the word mai. What is this? Because when you get it from the Amma Aretz, and you don't know if he took off Trumas and Maestros, so your question, which is an unanswered question, is what is this? Right, exactly. So, dimacha lo se'acher. And the Torah says lo se'acher. Lo se'acher means literally don't delay. But in this context, the way the Gemara understands it is, don't take off truma before Bikurim. That's a no-no. Now, so Malaya, Elo Bikurim V'dimachay, Elo Truma V'amar Lo Se'acher, and the Torah says Lo Se'acher. Okay. It's interesting because what the Gemara does not do is, in other words, we have a source that's alive in the Torah. There is no source that the Gemara is giving us that you're going to get Malkus. Right? Meaning the whole point the Gemara is trying to make is that even though it's a lav shem b'maisa, you're getting Malkus. Where do you see that? I don't have an answer to this question. I mean, but you don't. Meaning there is no source for that in the Gemara. Well, we're going to see in just a moment it's subject to a machlokas. So, but according to the one who says that you are going to get Malkus, how do we get there? Okay. Itmar. Hiktim truma lebikurim. So the Gemara now quotes a machlokas amongst the Amorayim. If you take off truma before you take off bikurim. So Rabbi Lazar, Rabbi Yosef, Rabbi Chanina, Chana Marloka, V'chana Marino Loka. Now, it is agreed that you can't do that. Meaning that's not the debate. You certainly cannot do that. The only question is, are we talking about punishment? What are we talking about in terms of punishment? Are you going to get Malkus or you're not going to get Malkus? And so the Gemara says it's a machlokas amorim. Now, we've seen the structure, this layout before. The Gemara does this kind of layout very often, where it is that we have two amorim and we have two opinions, but we don't know the match. We don't know which amora said which opinion. So now what the Gemara is going to try to do is it's trying to make a match. Which amora said which opinion? Now, before we go further in the Gemara, let's remind ourselves, who are the two opinions? One is Rebbe Lazar, and the other is Rebbe Yosef, Rebbe Chanina. Now, that name, Rebbe Yosef, Rebbe Chanina, should sound familiar. Because, going back to, go back up five lines in the Gemara, who says that it's an exception to the rule? Rebbe Yosef, Rebbe Chanina. He says that when you're Maktim, Trumala Bikurim, you're going to get Malkus. So it should be that we already know how to match up one opinion to one position, meaning we should be able to match Rabbi Yosef, Rabbi Chanina to the position that you're going to get Malkus. That would make a lot of sense. Interestingly enough, the Gemara doesn't take that direction. The Gemara goes in a different direction. I'm wrong. Tistayim, Rabbi Yosef, Rabbi Chanina, hu dam lokem, and dam Rabbi Yosef, Rabbi Chanina, afa matzim shum labikurim. So the Gemara starts off by making that very point. Yeah, Rabbi Yosef Rabbi Chanina says you're going to get Malkus. Adarabba, the Gemara says, no, just the opposite. Tistayim de Rabbi Lazar, hu da amar loke. I can make another diuk, and I'm going to tell you that it's the other position, the position of Rabbi Elazar, who says that you are going to get Malkus. How do I know that? Did not. So we start off with a Mishnah from, you brought it up just a moment ago, a Mishnah from Demai. Okay, the Mishnah in Demai reads as follows. How you in front of Sheikha Kol Shal Tevel? You have in front of you two baskets, each one is Tevel. Tevel means we know for sure the Chumas and Maisos have not been taken off. Okay. And I don't know why this person's doing this. That's not our issue right now. But let's just talk about what he does. Somewhat of a complicated Mishnah, but the Mishnah says like this. Now, the Harishona, probably, let's take that out of the Gemara, right? It doesn't really fit, it doesn't really belong. Rashi removes it. Okay, so, but anyway, Me'useres. Okay, so case number one of the Mishnah of Demai basically goes like this. Again, so I have two baskets in front of me. Now, each one of them for sure is tevel. And I say like this. I would like to take some of the produce from basket A and have it serve as trumas and masros for basket B. Okay? And as Rashi points out, you don't actually, for the world of Meiser, you don't actually need to take it out. As long as you verbally designate it, that would be sufficient. So now basket B, you're good. Meaning, because basket B, you have now, right, from the perspective of basket B, Trumas and Maisos have been removed? Sure. Because it's located in basket A. Okay. That's case number one. Case number two, here. Come around. Case number two. Shelzu bizu, vishelzu bizu. Harishona meuseres, V'hashnia eina me'usaris. But now, I try to go in both directions. Meaning, I'm going to take a trumas of maestros from A to B, and then I say, you know what? I'd like to take trumas of maestros from B to A. Okay. That first step worked. That second step did not work. Okay, why not? We have a general rule in the world of trumas of maestros. You can't separate from something which is exempt from trumas of maestros to something which is obligated in trumas of maestros. Okay? Minaptur ala chiv, or minachiv ala ptur. But just focus right now, minaptur ala chiv. Look what happens. When I separated, in other words, again, I have two baskets in front of me, and let's call them A and B. Okay? When I said I'd like to take off trumas of maestros from A to B, so that now means that couple of grapes or olives or whatever produce we're talking about, now in A is designated as trumas of maestros on behalf of basket number B. Number. Of basket B. Good. So that now means that B, misukan. It's fixed. It's remedied. It's all set to go. Now what I'd like to do is I'd like to go the other way. I'd like to go take off from B to A. Can't. B now is already fixed. B is taken care of. B is already fixed, so now essentially what happens now is I'm trying to be mafrish, menapatur, from something which is exempt, excused, to something which is actually obligated. So the Mishnah Demai says that's not going to work. Again, so far so good. Ma'asor sehem, ma'aser kakala bechaverto, karas hashem. And finally, case number three. What if I do it simultaneously? It works. Sure. Okay? Because it happens now at the same time. So I'm being mafrish min achiv al achiv. Okay, so it's a little bit strange, but it works. Good. Those are the three cases of this Mishnah and Demai. So far, so good, right? Why are we even talking about this Mishnah? How does it affect our issue? We're talking about doing things out of order. So, and we're talking about Malkus. So now listen, because you got to read the next line of Gemara. The Itmar, Rabbi Lazar, Amar, Loke. So Rabbi Lazar says that in this scenario, let's make it simple for our purposes. Let's just go back to the first case of that Mishnah. In that case over there, you're going to get Malkus. What? What'd you do wrong? Mimnei Shehikti Maiser Sheni Sheba La Maiser Rishon Shebechaverta. Here's what you did wrong. Okay? You went from A to B. Meaning, again, you have two baskets in front of you, basket A, basket B. And you said that from basket A, I want to give off, right, Maiser Rishon. Now, I know from the Mishnah, it didn't sound like we're talking about both Maiser Rishon and Maiser Sheni, but we are. We're talking about both Maiser Rishon and Maiser Sheni. So, a couple of grapes, or however many I need, in order to satisfy the Maiser requirement, I'm taking off from A to B. Okay, good. Now what was my next move? I now want to take even more grapes off of A to satisfy the Maaser Sheni requirement for B. Okay. When I took off those next series of grapes, I'm taking it from basket A. Now, within basket A itself, have I taken off Truma? Meaning, for basket A?
No.
Have I taken off Maaser Rishon? No. In other words, for basket A by itself, it's still Tavol, and so what I'm doing now is I'm basically taking produce from A, I'm taking Truma, I'm taking Maaser Rishon, I'm taking Maaser Sheni, I'm taking it off for B, but meanwhile, A, I haven't done anything yet for. So I've preempted my Maaser Sheni for B even before I touch my Maaser Rishon for A. So in other words, for A, from the perspective of A, I'm going out of order. So the Gemara quotes, in the name of Rabbi Lazar, that you're going to get Malkus for what you did. It works, it's effective, in other words, to help B, but because vis-a-vis A, you're out of order, so therefore you're going to get Malkus.
But A is a separate thing. Why? It didn't take it out from A. For B, it took it out in O. It took Maserishon, then Maserishon.
Right.
For A, it's a separate thing. Nothing's still terrible. Nothing is...
But
nothing is done.
You took out,
I don't get it. Nothing has been done.
I'll tell you what. Let's table. I'll discuss it later. Okay, just for the time being, the Gemara assumes that. Not only does the Gemara assume, the Gemara says the name of Rebbe Elazar, you're going to get Malkus. You went out of order, and therefore you're going to get Malkus. So Tistayim, so the Gemara says, okay, good. Now, when we say good, of course, we don't really mean good. Because now we know for sure that Rebbe Elazar says you get Malkus. But we also know that Rav Yossi says that you're going to get Malkus. So, but the way the Gemara introduced the whole issue to us, it's a machlokus amoraim between Rav Yossi and Rebbe Elazar. One says you are going to get Malkus, and the other one says you're not going to get Malkus. But we can't have both of them giving you Malkus because it doesn't work. That's not the way it was laid out. Ela Rav Yossi, Rebbe Chinan, Dam Reino Loka. So the Gemara says, okay, so by process of elimination, now we're going to say that according to Rav Yossi, Rebbe Chinan. You're not going to get Malkus. Lema Kasha, Rav Yossi, Rebbe Chanina, Ad Rav Yossi, Rebbe Chanina. But the problem is now that there's an internal debate between Rav Yossi, Rebbe Chanina. So the Gemara says, "Lo, Rav Yossi, Rebbe Chanina, Apitura Kai." So the Gemara says, what we did is we misread Rav Yossi, Rebbe Chanina. Misread him. What? What does that mean? It means that when the Gemara presented Rav Yossi, Rebbe Chanina as a fourth, we assumed that what he meant was that this is a fourth time where you are going to get Malkus. The Gemara is saying no. The Vahachi Kamar, Lashin Bamaisa in Lokan Allah, Mishum Rabbi Yosef Rebbe Chanina Amru, Af Hamakim Chuma Libikurim. If you're Makim Chuma Libikurim, he's agreeing not that you're going to get Malkus, but it's a Lav She'ein Bamasa. That's what he's agreeing to. It's an inaction. So umayshna meimer delakim mishum debi dibura samaisa makim mishum lebikura namilokim mishum debi dibura asa maisa. Okay, so now the Gemara says, now let's try to put everything together. Yesterday's daf and today's daf. Yesterday, what did we say? Tamura, action or inaction? Okay. Yesterday we said it's an action. I know it's a confusing question, but yesterday we said on Amud Beis. Rav Yochanan says, let's assume like Rav Yochanan. Rav Yochanan says it's an action. Why is it an action? Because when you say something, it yields an immediate result. There's a change of status. Good. Isn't the same thing happen with Truma? Mm-hmm. Meaning even though Truma only needs to be done verbally, and that doesn't require an action, but isn't it verbal that results in an immediate change of status? So if by Temura you were so comfortable saying it's a lav sheyesh bo masa, so the same thing should be true by truma. It's a lav sheyesh bo masa. Good question. So this is the Gemara's question. So asamaisa maksim truma bikurim nami lokem mishum dibi dibur asamaisa. Am Rabbi Avin shani hasam the lav shenitak la asei hu. So the Gemara says, well, in the case of truma, it's a lav anitak la asei. Meaning, you went out of order. You shouldn't have gone out of order. Okay, so you know what? You can go back and redo it. And redo it in the correct order. So it's a lav anitak laasei. It is there's a way to remedy that which you did wrong, and because there's a way to remedy that which you did wrong, so subsequently, it's a lav anitak laasei. That's why you're not going to get malchus. Dechsev mikol maaser sechem tarimu. Okay. And if need be, you'll do it again. So the Gemara says Yasiv Ravdimi v'kamala lahashmaisa. So really, that's your rule? Your rule is that any lav hanitak la'asei, you are not going to get Malkus? V'hameimar. But what about Temura, the lav shenitak la'asei huvalaki? Where the Gemara says it's a lav hanitak la'asei, and you're going to get Malkus. Now, hopefully you won't remember that on the first day of Temura, on Amud Beis, so the question was asked, is Temura a lav hanitak la'asei? And I apparently said, nah, it's not a lav anitak laasei. Right? So it's a good thing that daf wasn't recorded and posted, because otherwise everyone would remember, or I could just simply listen to the recording. I think it was posted. Anyway, so the Gemara over here says clearly that Temura is a lav anitak laasei. Now, why did I patently reject it on daf beis? Because it doesn't make any sense, meaning... What is lav anitak laasei? So I gave you examples on daf beis. I'll review the examples again today. You steal. What does the Torah say?
Give
it back. Right? Meaning lav anitak laasei means I did something wrong. I did it. I can undo it. Right? I can fix it. right? Or, for example, which we're going to talk about later this morning, Nosar. Torah says, don't leave a carbon over. Now, what if you do? Okay, burn it.
There's a tikkun.
Okay, so, okay, good. So I know, good. There's going to be an answer to my question, but I'm just presenting what at least my thought process was, meaning Rabbi Goldberg told me yesterday in shul that I got to embrace my mistake. So I'm embracing right now.
Not you were
golf. Right, correct. No, I'm a, I don't even golf. So I'm embracing the mistake. So, right, it's a lavani taklase, meaning the Torah says, remedy that which you did wrong. So over here, tamura. The Torah says, hu usmura so yeh kodesh. So, what was my base? What was my daf base mentality? That's not a remedy.
We didn't do anything.
Right? That's just a result of what happened. Right. Meaning the Torah says don't do it, and here's the result. Right. It yields a result, but that's not a remedy. And what you're going to say is,
are you going to undo the?
Well, the thing is that with Timura, you transferred the kedusha for korban for another, but your execution is to bring the first one and say this is the.
Right, meaning right. Maybe what the Gemara here is suggesting, what Abai is suggesting is that by Tamura, the bringing of that second animal is a way to remedy to undo
first,
that which you did.
The first animal, the bringing of the first animal, the original animal. Because you tried to transfer the goods to something else, but your
right.
Tikkun is just like,
I'm agreeing with you. In other words, bringing both animals is the remedy. That's going to have to be the remedy.
It's like I give you back the money that I stole. Right. I burn the noise. It's not there anymore. But here.
You still enjoy my daf beis mentality.
No, right. No, but it is because you're
like
saying
that
this belongs to Hashem, but I'm going to have this to replace it. But then you tikkun it. I'm going to give this back to Hashem. Like that's your tikkun.
Right. Right. The double. It's the double. It's the double bringing that is the tikkun. Okay.
Exactly.
All right. Fine. Good. You're also embracing my mistake. So the Gemara says so. V'chol lav shenitak laseu v'laki v'ha meimer delav shenitak laseu v'laki denan. And then the Gemara quotes the Mishnah again, just to make sure that we know you get Malkus. Lo shadam rishal lahamir l'shim heimir mumar v'sofik is arba'im. So the Gemara's response is havelahu trei lavi v'chad asei. So the Gemara's answer is, yeah, if it was one lav and one assay, I'm with you. But it's not, it's two lavin. Lo yachalifenu, velo yimirenu. Right, so that brings us back to that Tosfos on Daf Beis. Right, remember Tosfos wonders, so how many sets of Malkus are you getting? So, well, Tosfos said we should get 80. Right, because one is for lo yachlifenu, and the other one's for lo yimirenu. Okay, so maybe Ben, you were making the suggestion to me.
Right.
Maybe the lav anitak laasei takes care of one of the sets. It's interesting. Tosfos doesn't suggest that, by the way, but that's fine. It's a good suggestion. So the Gemara, we're back to the Gemara. So havi elahu trei lav v'charasei v'lo asei charasei v'akar lo trei lav. Okay, so one asei cannot uproot two lavin. Now the Hari One is the Chadla v'Chadase v'lo Asi Chadase v'Akalav. So the Gemara says, I'll give you another example where it's a lav and itak lase, it's one lav and one ase, and meanwhile there's going to be malchus. Now the Gemara gives an interesting example, and that's of Ones. Okay, a man is ma'anis a woman, right? Violates a woman. So the Torah says a couple of things happen to the man. First of all, he pays a knas. Right. Aside from all the regular nezikin payments that he has to make, the nezik, the tsar, the boshes, the pagam, okay, and then the Torah says he has to marry her, and then the Torah says lo yishalchenu, he cannot divorce her. So there is an asay of marrying her, and there is a love of lo yishalchenu, he may not divorce her. Okay, now onish girish, let's say a man marries his anusa as he's supposed to. And by the way, she has to say yes.
Yeah.
She has to consent. She can't, right? She only gets violated once. She doesn't, you know. In other words,
right.
It's not a compound violation. So and then he divorces her, which now he violated a law. So what's the halacha? So im Yisrael hu machzir. So if he's Yisrael,
take her back.
Machzir grushoso. Okay, you weren't allowed to. Now, so you take her back. Ve'inolok, and you don't get malchus because. Oh, wait. I by design don't want to say that. And you'll see why. Ve'im kohen hu, loke ve'inol machzer. Now, what if you're a kohen? So here you have an issue. Okay? You got a lot of issues, by the way, but we're going to focus on one specific issue, which is the following. Meaning, you married her, as you were supposed to, right? And you divorced her, which you shouldn't have. But then, okay, fine, so marry her again. Here's the problem. She's a grusha. Now, I understand she's your grusha, but doesn't matter. And meaning, a kohen may marry a grusha under any circumstance, even his own grusha. Which is why the Gemara in Gittin at the very end gives a whole sequence for when a kohen ends up, decides, I want to divorce my wife, so there's a delay tactic. There's a stall tactic to make sure that the kohen really thinks it through before divorcing his wife. So, because he once the divorce, that's it. He has no ability to be machzer grushasa. So, that's not what we're focusing on right now. We're going to focus on one thing, and that is we're going to give the kohen malchus. We're giving him malchus. Loke ve'eino machzer. Now, what bothers the Gemara? What's the Gemara's question? Interesting question. The implicit question of the Gemara. Well, why is he getting malchus?
Because he did
yeah, but it's a lav.
But there's no nitzavon. There's no.
So it's a lav hanitak la'aseh.
But he doesn't have that.
Now that's a technical issue.
But it's a reality.
One person's technical issue is another person's reality. But but it's fundamentally meaning when I define the lav. It is a lav hanitak lase. Now, he can't do it because he's got his kohen issues. But it is a lav hanitak lase. Meaning, when we look at whether you get malchus or you don't get malchus, we don't take it by case basis. We look at it as a fundamental basis.
You could argue that for him, it's not a
lav. I understand. I understand your argument. I understand your argument, but I'm explaining the Gemara. Right now, right? My paid position over here is to explain the Gemara. Now, granted, I don't do such a great job, but right now, that's the Gemara's thought process. The thought process is, it's fundamentally a lav hanitak la'aseh. And so why are we even having a discussion of Malkus? So the Gemara's answer is, Kohanim kamar, Kohanim taim achrinahu, the Rabbi Rechman HaKadushi Yaseira. No. His Malkus is for being a Kohen. Meaning, sometimes Kohanim get... Right, in other words, they have an extra degree of sanctity, which sometimes will warrant them to get Malkus, even when normally Malkus is not warranted. Look at the first Rashi. The Rashi over here has a couple of explanations, but look at that first Pshat in Rashi, right? Dichsiv and Morla Kohanim La Nefesh La Yitamav. It came into Chamik Dusha Sayu Hichmer Aleit Fei Yisrael. Meaning we're just more Machmer with Kohanim, more Kedusha, more responsibility. More responsibility means sometimes they're just going to get Malkus. Meaning, generally, if it's just a regular Jew, we're not going to get Malkus. It's a lav nitak la'aseh. You're a Kohen, even though it's a lav nitak la'aseh, but you're a Kohen. More Kedusha, more responsibility. Good. Kid tonight. Let's finish up just with this, and then we'll stop for today. And whether or not you are going to get Malkus for a lav nitak la'aseh is really subject to machlokas tonight. Lo yeshir mimen wad boker ba'akas v'litena se'achel lo sa'aseh lama she'in lo ken alav divra av Yehuda. Right? You leave over an osar. Karban. Past its time. Past its deadline. So you're not going to get malchus. Why? Because the Torah says lav nitak la'aseh. That is the opinion of Yehuda. Rabbi Yaakov amar lo men ha'shem huzeh el mishum da'ave lav she'in bo ma'aseh v'chol lav she'in bo ma'aseh en lo ken alav. No, it's a lav she'in bo ma'aseh. Now, skip the next 6-7 words. Rabbi Yaakov, hai v'hanosa mimenu ad boker beish yisrofo, lamai asa. So according to Rabbi Yaakov, so why does the Torah talk about burning it the next morning? Meaning, that's not the reason why you're not going to get malchus. It's a lav shem b'maisa. So why is the Torah giving us a nituk, a way of remedying the situation? Mibai lelichid did not, so the Gemara says, because the Torah is teaching us, making another point. Ha'atzamas v'aginim ha'anosa yisrofu b'shisha asar. Let's say you leave over Karban Pesach. You shouldn't. But you did. And when do you burn it? The next morning? You can't. Next morning is Yantif. Right? The morning after Karban Pesach is the first day of Pesach. It's Yantif. You can't burn You can burn on Pesach for eating, but this is just burning nosar. So chal shishar asar lios b'shabbos. So you burn it on the first day of Chol HaMoed. Now, what if the first day of Chol HaMoed is Shabbos? Okay, so you refer b'shivasar lefishin dochen laos shabbos v'laos yontif. So you push it off to the next day, the second day of Chol HaMoed. V'am rechizke v'chein tan debechizke ma'itam amakar v'nosar mimenu ad boker ba'esh tisrofu. V'hanosar mimenu ad boker. What does it mean, ad boker? You have to wait until the next morning because you can't burn it on Yontif, nor can you burn it on Shabbos as well. That's what Rabbi Yaakov learns out from the Hanos Mimenu Ad Boker. That you have to wait and you have to delay. Now the Gemara could continue this discussion back and forth, but the Gemara stops over here as we will right now. Okay, that was a lot today. Number one, we talked about taking Trumas and Maisos out of order. Okay, that is a Lav Shein Bo Maisa. Is there Malchus over there? Machlokus. Machlokus between Rabbi Lazar and Rabbi Yossi. Okay? Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Chanina. Second thing we discussed today is Tamura. Is it Alav Hanitak La'aseh? Interestingly enough, the Gemara says, yes, it is. So if it's Alav Hanitak La'aseh, so why are you getting Malchus? Because it's two Lavin versus one Aseh. Okay? And then finally, we went over the, and we give the another example of Alav Hanitak La'aseh by Ones. And then finally, we went over the basic machlokus, which we've seen many times throughout Shas, whether or not you get machlokus for lav nitak la'aseh, and it seems to be a machlokus amongst the Tanayim. Tomorrow we start a really big sugya in the Gemara of Yavin Mahani, Yavin Lo Mahani. We'll stay tuned. Come back tomorrow.